Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're listening to Fitzy and Lyons on WEEI.
A couple of minutes after 5 o'clock here on a Sunday on Boston Sports Original, 93.7 FM WEEI. Fitzy and Lyons here with you, chatting Pats, Mac Jones. If you just missed the news, the breaking news that we gave you a couple minutes ago, the breaking news of the earlier in the day was, of course, Mac Jones being traded to the Jacksonville Jaguars for a 6th-round pick. The Mac Jones era is over. And now it seems like the Baker Mayfield era will never get started in New England, at least not now, as it continues in Tampa. Breaking news just a couple minutes ago from Rap Sheet that Baker Mayfield is signing a 3-year, $100 million deal to remain with the Buccaneers. Good for them for running it back. They'll probably run that division for the next couple of years, though it would be interesting, John Lyons, if Atlanta were to sign Kirk Cousins, their roster, their draft picks against the Bucs, Baker, Godwin, Evans, and Rashad White, who's a sneaky good running back. I think that would make for some pretty good other conference sports theater next season.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And I did mention before the break that I felt the Bucs with Mayfield, that's a better opportunity to win a division than if he came here. But Atlanta's a sneaky good roster. Like, you look at that offensive line, especially run blocking, they're really good. And I think if you put a Kirk Cousins there, and I'm not the biggest Kirk Cousins guy, but you put him there, like, that's a team that can at least challenge Tampa, maybe win that division, get to the playoffs, and give at least someone a tough game in the wild card round. Who knows, if things break right, win a wild card game. Like, that's a sneaky good roster. They just don't have the most important thing, which is, of course, a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, he would have been the guaranteed certified starter here in New England, but he probably figured, okay, they're going to have to offer more money because it's an income tax-free state. I'm pretty happy where I'm at. And, yeah, there's a certain comfort level there. I'm not sure.
And this is a pivot point for Baker Mayfield, too, because, you know, he had this stint in Cleveland that I think, you know, look, he got done a little bit dirty the way that ended. I felt like Carolina did not work out well for him. The Rams, he had a good moment or two, but, I mean, that's Stafford's team. He goes to Tampa, starts all 17 games. They win the division. He throws for 4,000 yards. If he can continue this going forward, he can have a totally different career than maybe we thought, and when I say we, people in general thought he was going to have just a year or two ago. So I think this is a pivot point for him, and he probably looks at that, not just the money, obviously, but that's the best place for him to continue on that path to having a really good career because he's still quarterback years relatively young.
So let's, real quick, just for our own fun here, imagining if Baker, and we'll get to your calls in just 1 second, folks. Thanks for hanging on with us. Just imagine if the Patriots had been able to lure Baker out of Tampa, reunite him with the guys that he played with years ago, in Cleveland, or rather played for. Imagine what that would have done to the Patriots draft, because now you would have found your quarterback in free agency, someone you were familiar with, who you knew the team had interest in at several different points. Apparently, there was a rumor Josh McDaniels was super interested in trading up for him way back in 2018.
That, yep.
Then there was the talk of maybe trading Mac Jones last year, hopefully getting a third, and maybe going after Baker when he was a free agent last year and changing up the quarterback room. So there's always been a Baker to New England connection. Had they signed him, had they signed Baker Mayfield, now all of a sudden the third overall pick, if you think Baker's going to be here for a couple of years, what is he, only 26?
I think he's 29 right now.
28, 29?
Yeah.
I mean, so he still has, if he continues to play at the level he did last year, he still has several years of, you know, high-functioning football ahead of him. Now you have a chance to draft someone later, maybe develop them, see if they'll turn into something.
Yeah, he turns 29 next month. Sorry to cut you off, Fitzy.
No worries, Johnny. Thank you. No pressure to play him immediately. Now Baker's your starter the next couple of years. That third overall pick becomes so freaking valuable to some other team. You can stock picks. You can fill them up with wide receivers, rebuild the whole offensive line if you want to. Tight ends, running backs. That would have been a big domino to fall for the Patriots, John, but he remains in Tampa. Let's go back to the phones. What do you say? There's my old pal. Dakota in Braintree is on line one. Well. Sorry to interrupt your cocktails, fireworks, and supper celebrating the departure of McCorkle Jones, Dakota.
This is like Christmas in March, and I will say this.
You and Chris Scheim together. Jeez.
Yeah, Robert Kraft influenced the Mac Jones pick, set this Patriots franchise off, and they basically went into a death spiral and had to kick Bill Belichick out the door, a la the Boston Globe article of Terry Francona, okay? It's pathetic. And one thing, Fitzy, you know that I hate is fake narratives. And I want to touch on something that's been thrown around for years and how Bill Belichick ruined Mac Jones, a Pro Bowl quarterback. We all know Mac Jones was not a real Pro Bowl quarterback, okay? He did not make the Pro Bowl. He was forced to go to the Pro Bowl because I think Justin Herbert, Mahomes, Josh Allen, and seven other guys in front of him did not want to go to play in Las Vegas that year, okay? His QBR rating, his rookie season, was 16th, middle of the pack. Not bad for a rookie. I will give him that. But he's not a Pro Bowler. So that narrative needs to go away. And you talked about what happened that season, his rookie season, and then how it collapsed. Yeah. They beat the Jets, who were 4-13 twice. They beat the Texans 4-13. The Chargers, they beat without they got Adrian Phillips, I believe, a pick six in the fourth quarter to beat the Chargers. They beat Carolina 5-12. They beat Cleveland 8-9. Atlanta 7-10. They beat Tennessee without Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown and a few other starters. In the game that they went up to Buffalo, and by the way, I was at the beautiful Fontainebleau watching this on my little hotel room TV, watching the goalposts almost get knocked down. He threw three passes, okay? So to me, can we all agree, Fitzy, across every airway at every medium, that he's not a Pro Bowl quarterback that rookie season?
No, he definitely, by the definition, he was, but by the letter of the law, or at least in our own judgment and assessment, he was not. I thought the fact that, you know, dude, Tyler Huntley was a Pro Bowl quarterback a year ago, and he threw two touchdowns and three picks. I mean, nobody wants to go and do the Pro Bowl game slap and tickle. That's nonsense. And so when people say, like, Mac, you know, talking heads say, Mac Jones was a Pro Bowl quarterback, like, no, stop, please, really. Like, he was good, and he showed, or at least we thought he showed, the potential under the tutelage of Josh McDaniels to actually be something, maybe not special, but something serviceable and efficient enough to win more games than he loses. But then it just, all the blank hit the fan, dude, the next year.
Yeah. But there was already signs of it. Fitzy, you remember better than anyone, during the first half of that year, they're like, when are they going to let Mac Jones take the gloves off? Remember the first part of that year, they coddled him like Tom Brady in the first five or six games with every dink and dunk, nothing over the middle. And every time that Mac Jones threw the ball over the middle, it was a hospital ball. And he maintained to always throw hospital balls. Okay. The guy was never good. He never had the talent. He was in Alabama with every star that you mentioned at the top of the show there. And Mac Jones, if he didn't go to the Patriots, there was even talk that he might have slipped to the second round. Robert Kraft basically said, you know what, and maybe Bill's the guy that moved Tom Brady, you know, said to Kraft, hey, Tom Brady, I think's at the end. And obviously that came back and bit him. Kraft then overstepped the boundaries, started making football decisions. And soon as Kraft did that, Bill Belichick should have said, I'm out of here. And that's the only problem that I have. Going into this season, when he hired Billy O'Brien as an offensive coordinator, Kraft doing that. And what scenario does the owner of the football team, other than maybe Jerry Jones, decide to bring in coordinators and not what the head coach wanted? As soon as that happened, Bill Belichick saw the writing on the wall, and yes, he did try to trade Mac Jones. And again, Robert Kraft stepped in. No, he's my guy. I would have thrown up my hands like Bill Belichick did and basically just torpedoed the season. I'm glad Belichick did what he did, because it's coming out in the dynasty how Robert Kraft was all about him, okay, and trying to make Robert Kraft look like Bill Belichick was the fall guy. Bill Belichick, the greatest head coach in the history of football, he's making him look like he's running the Apaches in North Quincy. I'm out of here, Fitzy. I'm going to have a drink after this one.
Dakota, that's a mic drop of a phone call, especially this hour on a Sunday when it's cold and windy outside. Well done, my friend. Anyone like Dakota, who was never a Mac Jones fan, who happens to be frustrated with their favorite football organization, you want to call and vent, John Lyons and I are here. We are certified sports therapists. We are here for you. We'll walk you off that ledge. We'll bring you back to reality. Dakota will maybe even buy you a drink if you find out which Davio's or which Alba he's eating at tonight as well. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. John, the calls are piling up now for Mac Jones. It seems like people really do want to get their last licks in on someone who hoped he would have been the answer in the future, but now he is the answer really to just a sad trivia question. But let's catch you up on everything else trending in the wide world of sports now with our producer, Zach Coe.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to Fitzy and Lyons on WEEI.
Fitzy and Lyons on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Your calls coming up on the Mac Jones trade and everything in the wide world of Patriots. John, I wanted to get your prediction, your take, your spin or call here on who the Patriots may step outside of our expectations or even their comfort zone to target as the legal tampering in the free agency period for the NFL begins tomorrow. Free agency technically begins on Wednesday, but we know deals can start getting announced as early as 12:01 p.m. tomorrow when the tamper window opens up. Friday on Six Rings, Andy Hart said he wouldn't be surprised if one of the big announcements, one of these fireworks that Scott Zolak has predicted, would be some sort of defensive stud. Maybe like, you know, it can't be Chris Jones. He went back to the Chiefs. Maybe it could be a Christian Wilkins type, Adebuke went back to Baltimore. So who's your call for like an outside the box, like, whoa, the Patriots just signed blank type of player?
So a lot of people have said L'Jarius Sneed, the corner from the Chiefs, and I know that will require, I think, trade compensation as well.
Yep.
So that I look at Christian Wilkins from Miami. I mean, you put him next to Christian Barmore, and you have a elite combination in the interior of your defensive line for several years. And he would be a hefty price tag, but he's really good against the run. He's a huge body there as well. You just let Lawrence Guy go if you're the Patriots. So outside the box guy for me, it's Christian Wilkins. I mean, I would have loved Antoine Winfield Jr., but he's going to be staying in Tampa Bay. I thought that would have been a great fit for them. But to me, if you're looking outside the box, because we're all thinking offense, offense is their biggest need. They should invest a lot on offense. For me, outside the box, it would be Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle from the Dolphins.
And what do you think a deal like that's going to cost? Because Chris Jones, what did he get, like $95 million guaranteed right over the next 5 years? And these defensive linemen are getting $25 million or more right now, which is
yeah,
wild.
And Wilkins is a guy, he's in his mid-20s. I believe he's from Springfield, Mass., by the way.
Yes.
In his mid-20s, great player. I mean, yeah, we're talking this. It's not going to be Chris Jones money, but it's going to be real. Like, he's going to be your highest paid defensive player, I would think. Yeah, you know, despite Matthew Judon, at least on an AAV basis, I know he got that raise last year. Like, I think he's going to be your highest paid defensive player, but they have the money to spend. And he's young enough. He's not one of these 30, 31-year-old defensive linemen that you might get a year or two, but then there's going to be some breakdown there. He's young enough that you can give him a big four-year deal, and he'll be good for all 4 years of it, or if it's a five-year deal, all 5 years of it. So that's a guy to me. I think you can think outside the box with him, really bolster your defensive front as well, and still have plenty of money and draft capital to invest in your offense.
I wonder exactly what it's going to cost to sign Barmore. I'd get on that.
See,
I know
Barmore to me, like that. So to me, my number one priority tomorrow and in the next few days is you re-sign Mike Onwenu. But one that's not far behind is if you can work out an extension for Barmore, because right now, I think is the cheapest he's going to be, because he was great last year, but he had, you know, injuries the year before, wasn't on the field all the time. His rookie year, he was great as a pass rusher, not as great, you know, against the run. He's building that. So I think this is the cheapest he's ever going to be is probably this offseason. So I think that should be maybe not their number one priority, but it should be pretty high up there for them to get done.
I could not agree with you more. I would make that a priority re-sign or priority extension as quickly as possible, though there are people that want to see the Duggar deal done sooner or that want to see the Onwenu deal done. Yeah, getting to Barmore before he becomes the next highest paid defensive tackle in the NFL would be a big move for me. All right, back to the phones we go. First up, I'll take you in order. How you call? Jimmy's in Malden. Jimmy, how are you?
Na, 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 na. Na, 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 hey, 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 goodbye. Na, 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 na.
Second verse.
Hey, hey, goodbye.
Is that it?
Yeah, okay.
I guess we Jones. Jimmy hung on the phone. So, folks,
yeah,
you know, I told you we would take your calls if you wanted to celebrate, if you wanted to commiserate, whatever it was. I said we'd be more than happy to hang out here with you. I had no idea that you were actually just going to call up and sing. I don't think we need to guess exactly why Jimmy was singing in celebration. He's probably
yeah. I think we know why.
I think we could. We're smart boys. We were able to put two and two together. All right, let's check in. Let's go to the South Shore, the greatest place in the world to reside or be from. Danny and Quincy, how are you, Danny?
Well, the good news is no matter how bad my call is, I'm going to look great after that guy. Oh, my God.
Are you going to start singing, Danny, for us or no?
Oh, no, please.
Okay, all right.
I can't even talk. Never mind sing.
The fact that anyway, he went for the second refrain is my favorite part.
The second one? I'm like, he's going to do it again? I thought he was going to have a take after the first verse, right? But anyway, I wanted to help Dakota out. He failed to mention the last four games. After the bye week in his first season, he threw 6 touchdowns, 5 picks. The only team they beat was Jacksonville. They put up 50. I think 21 points came off of 3 interceptions by the defense in that game. But I'll give him that game. But that was a bad Jacksonville team. But that's when his regression started. And that was under Josh McDaniels, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they had the Buffalo game. He only threw, I think Dakota said 3. I maybe threw 6 passes in that game. Maybe 3. I don't know.
Yeah, it was 3,
just so
2
happy
completions.
They won the game.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
It was 2 completions, 3 attempts in that Monday night game.
Okay, so I was just happy. I was so ecstatic they won the game. I didn't really care how he played. He didn't, you know. So in Buffalo, zero touchdowns, two picks, 145 yards. I mean, Miami, one touchdown, one pick, two. I mean, he was starting his regression after the bye week. That's when this whole thing started. And I remember him on the podium saying something about feeling sorry for ourselves. I don't know whether he expected the veterans to stay and work through the bye week. I couldn't figure it out. But anyway, just and that was under McDaniels, and I keep bringing that up because I'm so sick of, like, your boy Mikey Cadillac comes on and says he was so damaged by Matt Patricia that he couldn't recover. Are we ever going to put any responsibility on if he's a first-round pick, he should be able to circumvent the coaching, whatever coaching he gets. I'm so sick and tired of people making excuses for this guy, all right? I mean, the guy just couldn't overcome adversity. That's it. He came from a stacked team. And as far as why Belichick stuck with Mac Jones last year, this was Kraft's project. I firmly believe, and maybe Belichick spited Kraft. You want the guy, you're going to get him. And I firmly believe he wanted Mac Jones to start that Chicago game. And coming off the high ankle sprain, I don't think Belichick wanted to stop Mac Jones in that game either. And I think they made a deal. He goes, he throws one pick, and Zappi's coming in there. This is all Kraft behind the scenes. All Kraft. And I just can't stand when the media now Belichick ruined him. Belichick's fired. He's gone. He's dead and buried. Put the dirt on him. And Mac Jones getting – can you imagine if Mac Jones got traded under Belichick? What would you be saying?
That would have been – Yeah, I think I would buy into. I'd put some stock, Danny, into that story that Robert Kraft potentially got in the way of and blocked Bill Belichick from trading Mac Jones last year, thinking, you know, you keep getting in the way of me wanting to have these franchise quarterbacks, and now here we are with hindsight.
Well, look,
being
and
2020,
if I was Bill,
it would have worked out.
It's reasonable to think Bill would have wanted to trade him last year because, like, and look, I think Matt Patricia and Joe Judge did a bad job, but Danny brings up a good point. And I've said this many times before, independent of that, Mac didn't play well. And then you put in the attitude he had on top of it, the showing up, you know, coaches on national TV. Like, to me, I would be more surprised if Bill didn't want to trade him after that season, let alone wanting to. So, yeah, and who knows? Maybe Bill wanted to trade him and there just wasn't a good enough offer. Maybe Kraft stepped in and said, hey, you only have a couple years left anyway. Mac's going to be here longer than that. Obviously, that didn't work out, but we're keeping him. Like he did with Garoppolo and Brady. Like maybe he did. Maybe Bill just didn't find a good enough offer. But yeah, I think it's pretty reasonable to believe that after 2022, Belichick would have been open to trading him.
Would you have imagined, Danny, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it very much. Would you have believed if I told you in 2021, 2 years from now, neither Bill Belichick or Mac Jones will be with his team? You would have been like, get out of here.
Yeah, I don't think I would have believed both
of them. Put the beer down, Fitzy. Come on.
Yeah, I don't think I would have believed that both of them would not. Like, maybe you could have talked me into, like, one of them would not be here, but I would have been shocked and not believing you if you said both would be gone by then.
Yeah, it's just absolutely wild. Now, as far as the free agency goes, well, actually, you know, I did want to get something from you on this one as well. Andy and I had a discussion on Friday, again, on the Six Rings podcast. If you haven't subscribed yet, smash that sub button. Tell your friends all about it. The Six Rings of Football Things podcast, found wherever you get your awesome football talk. Spotify, Apple Pods, WEEI.com, Odyssey, etc. We were doing our little dynasty review as we do each and every week on the pod. And I found the split this week, since I know you and I love hashing out this docuseries. I think you and I like it more than a lot of other Patriots fans. The reviews of this is a train wreck, it's a hatchet job, it's clearly a Kraft production. They wanted to make Bill the villain and Bill look bad so that everyone could sleep better inside the walls of one Patriot place. If that's what people choose to believe, if that's the growing narrative, that's fine. I do believe there are ways that Robert Kraft wanted to paint himself and the organization going forward, but I don't think it was just a thorough, like, hey, let's spend millions of dollars and hundreds, if not thousands of hours of our time and other people's times to vilify Bill Belichick. I refuse to believe that narrative. But as far as episodes 7 and 8 go, it kind of represented to me like the split of my favorite and least favorite episode. How did you feel about that? I'll get into it more in a second, but how'd you feel about them?
Yeah, for me, like, I thought both of them, I thought they were good, but I would have liked more in them, especially like some of the context around it. Like in episode 7, like there's no mention of On to Cincinnati, which was like, I thought, one of the better storylines of that season. Yes. You know, they get blown because they talked about the Garoppolo-Brady thing in episode 8. The first time we really got an inkling of, hey, there could, you know, and I don't want to say a controversy because there wasn't, but the first time there was a thing was, remember after that Kansas City game and Monday night when Garoppolo led him down the field for a late garbage time touchdown, and Bill was asked at the podium after, you know, hey, you're going to evaluate the QB position? And then, of course, he goes on to Cincinnati all week and they rip off a winning streak. And eventually, like, I would have loved that. Like, the Vladimir Putin story, too. Like, I think it's a cool story and it does show how big the Patriots were. But I would have put that, like, in the Spygate episode, like, because it happened around then. I would have kept it there. And it would have, I thought, dovetailed really well with the whole spy, like, and how big they were. And that's one of the reasons it was a big controversy. I also would have liked to have seen, if you remember, Fitzy, and of course I know you do, when the Patriots landed in Arizona for that Super Bowl, Robert Kraft did a press conference demanding an apology from the league. Like, I would have loved to seen footage from that. Because, so again, I thought it was a good episode. I would have just liked more, like, give me some more
episode.
Give me some more of that. Well, it was more about, like, Super Bowl 49 to me is one of my favorite games of all time. So, give me more of that. And the deflate, don't give me more. Like, I don't want a lot more Deflategate, but throw in those, like, that Kraft press conference asking for an apology. Like,
and
that's
where's Mona Lisa Vito?
Like, throw
that's
in those
an iconic all time line.
Because to me, Fitzy, I don't know how you fit. Like, Deflategate was probably the worst period of my sports fan life. Like, that was the stupidest thing.
That was after Super Bowl 42.
Like, no, but I, like, just to deal with for months on, like, the stupidest thing to listen to and to deal with day after day, month after, for like 2 years, we had to deal with it. So, 7, like I said, I like 7. I would have liked more about the actual season, whether it was On to Cincinnati. Give me a little more, like, how about the, you know, they briefly mentioned about the things from the Ravens game, like the ineligible man. Like, show me that a little bit. Like, I would have liked a little of that. In episode 8, I thought, I mean,
can I hit the pause button real quick about episode 7?
Yes, go 7.
You just absolutely hit on the head exactly what I wanted to bring up. One of the things, I didn't love the editing in episode 7, and I think some things were left out on purpose, you know, or maybe the filmmaking team decided they didn't need something for XYZ, that's fine. I felt like the editing was a little nonlinear, and it kind of jumbled up the story and presented the facts or the timeline in a way that I don't remember things shaking out. But that's fine. It's still entertaining to a degree. I actually kind of fondly remember the Deflategate time because of how well it did work out for Brady, because of the triumph that it ultimately led to both in Super Bowl 49 and Super Bowl 51. I love the fact that it was hate us because you ain't us, New England versus the world. Some of my favorite content that I had a chance to generate and participate in came from around then. And I love that Free Brady was the Roll Tide of Pats Nation during that time as well. But you hit the nail on the head. There was no the play you just mentioned that they didn't include was, what was it again?
The ineligible.
Ineligible, like, okay.
Yeah. And then even the Edelman double pass, like none of, like, yes. None of that. Yeah.
So had they, in episode 7 in the Dynasty, had they made a reference to the Ravens divisional game, shown the double pass, the brilliance of the Patriots at work when they had their back against the wall, and once again, the Dynasty, which wanted to restart itself so badly, and they'd gone 10 years without a Super Bowl. You could have shown that. And then you could have also shown, like you just mentioned, the illegal formation play, which would have been dynamite. And then what you do is then you show John Harbaugh getting pissed afterwards because he complained in the game, but it's Belichick's brilliance, to borrow something from Saban that he used the week before, or a couple weeks before, at LSU, and Harbaugh basically is the one who started the Deflategate thing by calling the Colts. But what you do there also is you do a quick little montage of how the Patriots' brilliance at finding ways to, you know, seek out loopholes and do things. Then what you do is you go back to the play, you know, you've got that play right there. You've got the Super Bowl 49 play, which they had previously scouted, and Ernie Adams had Jimmy Garoppolo running the week before they went to Arizona. Then you could have shown a quick highlight of the Denver 2003 intentional safety, John, and just some of those things that made Belichick so brilliant and why the Patriots were always a step ahead of everyone else. And I think that would have made the culmination of all that being the jealousy of the Ravens and the Colts and everyone else grander, leading to the farce that was Deflategate. That's I would have liked to have seen that.
And that's been something my 2 cents. I feel like, Fitzy, with a lot of the, like, I've come away from almost every single episode except maybe the Spygate one thinking, wow, that could have been 10 minutes longer. That could have been 15 minutes. Like, we talked about this with them not really mentioning the 03 and 04 Super Bowl teams. Like, you could have made episode 3 12 to 15 minutes longer, done a little bit about each, and I would have been fully satisfied, right? Like, I would have liked a little bit more about each episode. Like, the Hernandez episode was, I think, pretty good overall, but you could have done a few more minutes and talked about how after Hernandez got arrested, like, Welker had left in free agency. There was a lot of uncertainty around the team. Or the Garoppolo episode, talk about how Brady did not have his best year in 2013, right before they drafted him too, which would have added a little bit more context. Like, it's like these things, like, again, that's another one. I would have liked a few more minutes in episode 7. I think episode 8 overall was good, but a similar thing. Like, there was a few scenarios I could have dealt with. Hey, a few more minutes. Like, I'm not asking for an hour and a half movie every time, but when they're all 35 to 40 minutes, and part of this is a credit, in one way, a credit that they've made good content, I would like a little bit more of it, but add a little bit more context there. And I think we saw that a little bit in episode 7 too.
And the payoff, rather, in episode 8, I just loved, they set it up, the Super Bowl 51 comeback, the fact that my two favorite sound bites in the entire series are both in that episode. I shared one on Twitter the other day, the 1 minute long speech from Scott Pioli where he calls Brady Freddy F and Kruger.
He should have just said the F word too.
I know.
That would have been such a great soundbite.
I don't even know if
Pioli's Scott to create a
That's all right.
Yeah.
Actually got a nice message from him thanking me for sharing that clip, and then that made him share it. And like,
so that's a little flex from you, Fitzy.
I just wanted to share that. I'm sure he's not uncomfortable with
me saying
that.
It's like the time I was on with KJ, and he told me he knew Steph Curry as a kid, taught him how to shoot. Like, wow. He knew him as a kid. I don't know if he taught him how to shoot.
That's
a nice little flex there. Good for you, Fitzy.
Tell
Pioli to give me a call. I want to talk to Pioli.
I will. I'll see if maybe he'll be on our next show.
All right.
Good dude, but that story was awesome. But then Brady, when he said it was an FEA kind of season, and you can hear Hamercheck saying, what's FEA stand for? Brady says, F them all. And then you get into the Taylor Swift montage with that or a cool version of Look What You Made Me Do. Like, the stake, it felt so significant. It felt like a satisfying sequel. It felt like a revenge movie. And then they did Super Bowl 51 so much justice with the highlights and the interviews.
They were awesome with that.
It felt, and then, of course, the Belichick getting pissed the whole way and setting it up, and Slater saying, like, boy, I would have been mad if Belichick ever spoke to me that way. And, like, the stakes were so big, and it was played up to be the size that it was and then some. And that felt monumental, significant, and satisfying. So I really, really liked it, you know.
Yeah, the only thing I wish they had added is the morning after that Super Bowl when Belichick was at his press conference, I thought that was one of the times, that morning after press conference, when he was complimentary of Brady maybe more than any other time. Someone asked him, like, hey, did the suspension make Brady work any harder? And he's like, saying that's an insult to Brady and how hard he works and how much he prepares every week his whole career. I wish they had thrown, because they ended the episode with, hey, these guys are heading for a clash. And I think that's true. And I think it was Nora Princiotti who said, like, that was the game that changed Brady's mentality a little, because he was no longer the overlooker. And I think that was all true and all great. I just would have loved, like, 30 seconds from that press conference. But yeah, I thought that episode in episode 2 were probably the two best of the series so far. And the Spygate episode was great as well.
Yeah, painful as it was to swallow. It's kind of like Star Trek movies. Every other episode is great.
Yeah.
The even numbered ones. Yeah, I could have even put in the Shields MRI commercial where Brady had to take off the fifth ring. Oh, get some new jewelry. Roger that. That was just such a great burn as well. But yeah, the stakes are set up for the final two episodes, which will be released next Friday as well. What did you guys think? If you want to weigh in quickly before the show's over, give us a shout, 617-779-7937. Our final thoughts on all things Patriots, Mac Jones, plus Johnny's take on where the Celtics have been at recently, and should we or should we not be concerned with how they've played on this road trip? We'll get to it before we wrap things up here on EEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to Fitzy and Lyons on WEEI.
Final thoughts, wrapping things up here on Fitzy and Lyons on a Sports Sunday on WEEI. Red Sox won, Celtics won last night by 10 points over the Phoenix Suns. There was no Devin Booker for the Suns, no Porzingis for the Celtics as well. Tatum with a game-high 29 for the Celtics. Durant with 45 for the Suns. Anyone who didn't want to trade assets, pieces, or players on the Celtics one day to get Kevin Durant, boy, I could have never disagreed with that take anymore as well. Yet still, you know, Derek White's block that where he crossed over in front of the player and still reached back. I don't know if you saw that one, John.
Oh, that was the highlight. One of the best defensive plays of the year, at least for the Celtics. That was
that guy's so good. Everyone talks about him now, yet to me, he's still wildly underrated. But
he's the best defensive guard in the NBA. He's the best defensive guard in the NBA.
So how did you feel about this week with the Celtics? Because I didn't love it.
Yeah, it was a Jekyll and Hyde week for sure. And I thought last night's win was much more important and impactful than the Golden State win on Sunday last week, which, again, the Golden State win, they win by 52. It's a party. And I think considering you beat Golden State and that team that had given you so many problems, it was good. But I think this win was even more important because you had gone two games in a row where you had failed at the key situations late in the fourth quarter. You have a game against a NBA title contender in Phoenix. You don't have Porzingis. Tatum gets 22 in the second half, 12 in the fourth quarter. It's a five-point game, Fitzy, with 2 minutes left. They out-execute the Suns. They end up winning. I thought that was really important. And that's something, look, I think they've done a better job of winning close games like that this year than in the past. And look, they've had so many blowouts, it's been tough to tell, but you know, they beat Indiana at the end of January. That was a close game all game. Opening night against the Knicks, they've done it. They've done it a few times in between those two as well. But it's still something that until they do it in the playoffs enough, we're going to worry about that. So to see them do it on the road against an NBA title contender, I think was a really important thing to see. And I think much more impactful than what we saw on last Sunday against Golden State.
Yeah, I mean, that game, I said earlier this week on the radio with Rich Keefe that you almost could have seen the classic trap game coming for them. Like, oh, there's no Donovan Mitchell against Cleveland. We'll roll in this one, no problem. And then they get up to a big lead and just do that Celtics thing where they start kind of going to sleep in the third, go to sleep completely in the fourth, and forget that this other team still gets paid. Hey, those people draw paychecks too, bro. And they want to win that game. And for Cleveland, it's huge. Like, hey, we can beat the Celtics when we don't have our best player. Hey, somebody like Dean Wade. That's right, that D. Wade. Dean Wade can rattle off 20 in a row, basically, in the fourth quarter and win the game for us. And then Denver was the better team the other night. They were the better team when they played them twice. They went 2-0 in the season series. I'm glad, like you mentioned, that Tatum was able to show up and show out later in the second half because they needed him yesterday. And they held off, again, a Suns team that wasn't at full strength, but neither were the Celtics. Are you at the, we can only hope they'll learn from these things and improve on them over the final 19 games, thinking that that'll make them better for the playoffs? Or are you a little more nervous than you were, let's say, 10 or 12 days ago?
So, look, they're still the best team in the NBA, right? They're the only team top three in offensive rating, defensive rating, and net rating. They have the best record in the NBA. But, like I said, last night I was, in a way, happy that they were in that situation late in the game, because I think the more experience they have winning those games, the better they're going to be. Because, look, you're not going to blow everyone out if you're going to win an NBA championship. You're going to have to win those close games, which they've so many times over the last two postseasons failed to win. So you need to win those games, and I think we saw it now twice against Denver since January 1st. They've had opportunities to either take a lead late or win a game late, and they've lost both of those games against Denver, which is the most likely team you would see in the NBA Finals. Similar thing happened when they played OKC in early January as well. So I just want to see them, if they get more opportunities in that situation, which I'm sure they will, like, continue to build off what happened against Phoenix.
I couldn't agree with you more once again, John. I find that I often say that whenever we do these radio programs together. Yeah, you have to instead of looking at those as stumbling blocks or, you know, the ghosts of recent Celtics past coming back to haunt them again, like, these are the things they need to overcome now to get to where they want to go. Great job today. He is, of course, at The Real John Lyons, JonLyons. I will talk to you and see you soon, my man. Great
for sure.
Job, producer. Absolutely, great job. Great job by Zach Coe, our producer. Thanks to Mike Cavlik for joining us. Thank you guys for listening late on a Sunday after a Sox game and weighing in on the Mac Jones trade. So much more coming up tomorrow here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI, reacting to Mac Jones and more. Have a great night. Enjoy the Oscars. We'll see you soon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.